The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I had a dream. I've been having it for the last week and a half. It's just me sitting in a waiting room. I sit and wait. Sometimes I call out, ask why I'm there. But I'm alone, except for a vague shadow behind a desk. It never sees me, never speaks to me, never regards me. As far as I know, it doesn't even know I exist. So in this dream, I just sit and wait, and wait and wait for hours on end. Nothing to do and nothing to see. Then I wake up. This morning was the same as every morning. I woke up, I wondered what the hell that dream was supposed to mean, and then I shook it off. I went about my routine, forcing my ass out of bed after hitting snooze on my alarm 5 times, having coffee for breakfast, and running out the door as soon as I got dressed. Today I was on the hunt for jobs. It felt like I had been hunting for jobs for an eternity. I used to work at a software dev, but the company executives decided my talents were too costly and fired me. I had a good chunk in savings and was pretty good at gambling in the stock market, but I wasn't going to live off my retirement fund for the next 4 years. The first few jobs were a bust. I knew from the plastic smiles, monotonous voices, and vague answers that none of them wanted me. They wanted some fresh college graduates willing to work for dirt pay. The fourth and last job actually gave me hope. It was a small office on a side street next to a cozy coffee shop and library. It was like something out of a cheesy romance novel. The business itself was named Hardgroves Technology. I didn't even know what they were or what they did. Walking into the business, I felt a hard wave of déjà vu. The beige and white colors called to me, like an old friend whose name you couldn't remember. I sat down in a chair, still feeling like I should know this place. It was about 7 minutes until my 3 o'clock interview, so I sat and waited, wondering what I would do here. At 3 o'clock, an elderly man dressed exquisitely walked out and said, "Ah, you're here. Very good. Your name is Noah Ortega, correct?"
Correct,
I said. "What's your birth name, good sir?" he asked. I was concerned. Very, very few people ever ask that kind of question, unless they know something about me that most people didn't. I was born Sierra Ortega, sir, I said, fearing judgment. I see. Well, Noah, I'm very pleased you applied here. Upon reading your application, I was almost certain you were perfect for the job, so I'll skip the normal business speak and, frankly, the bullshit of a first interview," the man said. I thanked whatever powers that be, sighing softly in relief at the fact that he hadn't thrown me out when he asked for my dead name. The man continued. "Now, the work itself is very easy for a patient man. I serve rentals to a specific clientele. These are very rich and very powerful people coming through here for my services. Your job consists of 2 things. You will greet them, and you will escort them to the second door on the right. And you will develop a facial recognition software to install on my security system. You may have questions. Do not ask them. You may have second thoughts, but the pay is $28 an hour, so if that isn't enough to quell your mind, this isn't the job for you. Any questions?" For $28 an hour, I was more than content to stay quiet. I shook my head no, and the man said, "Very good. I knew you were my type of man, Noah. I expect you here at 7:15 a.m., on the dot, in your finest suit.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, I said,
elated as I headed towards the door. The man said, Oh, and, well, sir works, you may call me Mr. Hardgroves. I nodded and left. For the first time since I had been fired, I felt a glimmer of hope. Before I went home, I needed to go to a store and buy a nice suit. I had worn my nicest clothes for the interview, and I doubted Mr. Hardgroves was impressed by the attire. I made it home at about 5:30 and watched Netflix. After finishing Umbrella Academy for the umpteenth time, I went to bed. I had an alarm for 5 a.m. I fell asleep easily, easier than normal. I dreamt the same dream I normally had. I was in an office, like normal. This time, though, I knew where I was. The dream was in Mr. Hardgrove's building. I wonder if this is where I had always been, and why I had felt deja vu. I decided to ignore it. This job was the only good thing going for me. Some dream wasn't going to ruin it for me. There was one thing different about the dream. The vague, almost imperceptible shadow wasn't there like normal. I left home at 6:30 and headed to that small coffee shop. I wanted to know the area. Walking into the shop, I saw it was best described as cute. I looked around, seeing all the books and a small menu. A waitress walked up to the counter and said,
You're a new face here. How can I help you?
I don't really know the menu. Can you get me the best drink? As the waitress worked on the drink, she asked,
What's your name?
Noah. How about you?
Ellen.
Then she walked to the counter with a drink. I arrived at the office at 7:25 a.m. and walked in. I sat down behind the desk, nervous for the day ahead. Mr. Hardgroves walked out from the hall. He looked even better dressed than the day before. He adjusted his monocle and said, Well, you're early. Excellent. Thank you, I said. Mr. Hardgroves nodded and said, Noah, there was a red herring in my description yesterday. Before you begin, allow me to clear our murky waters. I listened intently as he said, Majority of this time will not be spent behind the main desk. In the hallway, there are 5 doors. You'll be in the first door on the right. This is where you will develop my facial recognition software, and there are specific notes on how I want that done. Under no circumstances are you to open the doors on the right. In the event of a robbery, you will escort them to my office, the last door. In the event that you cannot escort them, shout the word Kiwi. Any questions? The first appointment was scheduled for 10:30, so I started on the software development. The list of specifications was bizarre, but the pay was more than enough for me to build a database of body profile, hairstyle, and texture, and skin complexion. In reality, this would have been an entire head recognition software. But I didn't care. I worked until 10:10, and then went out to the desk, awaiting the first customer. When the appointment time rolled around, I was shocked at who walked in. The regional manager of my old job. He didn't recognize me, but I knew him from the 8 figures he made. After I escorted him to the room, I worked on the software more. The rest of the day was entirely uneventful, as were the next 2 weeks. What was eventful were my dreams and Ellen. The dreams were mostly the same, except the shadow returned, and the shimmering silhouette was of a different person. I ignored the dreams, though. Instead, I focused on the better things, like my fat paycheck and my date with Ellen. I didn't work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I had a romantic dinner scheduled for Friday evening and an art date for Saturday afternoon. The night I slept with Ellen was the only night I had dreamless sleep. Saturday was when things went wrong. I thought I saw Mr. Hardgroves as we were walking back to my apartment, and when I turned around, Ellen was gone. On Sunday, I filed a missing persons report. There was no sign of her anywhere. And I was late to work Monday. Thankfully, Mr. Hardgroves was understanding of the situation. Monday night, the dream intensified. The shadow had been getting clearer and clearer, and that night it was finally whole. It was me. I was the shadow. The dream no longer progressed as normal as I looked at myself in confusion. "You must be the 10 o'clock. Follow me," it said. I followed it, not knowing what was going to happen. It went to open the second door on the right when Mr. Hargrove said, "Noah, this one is different than normal. Please have him come into my office." Once we were alone, Hargroves asked, "You're here to sell, correct?" Before I could respond, I woke up. Waking up was the worst part. I was standing in my kitchen, fully dressed and holding a knife. Work was the same. The times were the same, and the coding was the same. I was close to being finished. The day after that was much the same, my dreams having Mr. Hardgroves asking if I was there to sell. On Wednesday, I stayed up. I couldn't take the dreams. I managed to stay awake for 50 hours before coffee could no longer sustain me. Falling asleep was a beautiful bliss. The dream was not. I was in a Gatsby-esque mansion at a party. There were rich and powerful people here. Many of them people I've seen personally at the office. Ellen walked down a grand staircase, accompanied by Mr. Hardgroves. He spent time talking to some of his clientele, and Ellen walked over to me. She gave me a hug and said,
"Noah, it's been so long since we've seen you. Have you sold yet?"
I don't know what to say, and I don't know what this all means. I said, No, this is all a dream, Ellen. I'm not here. You're not here. And my God, it makes me feel like I'm losing my mind."
"What do you mean, silly?"
she asked. Her questions seemed to stop all conversation, and most of the guests turned to stare at me before I woke up. Over the weekend, I spent most of my time trying to find Ellen. It was mostly a waste of time, like she had simply vanished into thin air. And not even the security cameras outside the business could tell where she went. One minute she was there, the next she was gone. Monday came, as it always did, and I was at the office again. Mr. Hardgroves walked out of his office and asked, "Noah, my boy, I hosted a party on Saturday. It was a private matter, and someone who looked much like you crashed the ordeal. Was it you?" I realized in fear that whatever I had experienced was not a dream. I don't think so," I said, very unsure of myself. "My boy, you look like you've seen a ghost. Are you okay?" I decided then that if anyone could help me, it'd probably be the man with the most money. No, I've been having these dreams. Normally it's me in this office. At first, it was just me, alone with a sort of shadow. After I started working, the shadow changed, and eventually, it was me. For the last week, a fake me escorted me to your office, where he asked me if I'm planning on selling. Last Saturday, I dreamt I was at a mansion, attending a party with many of your clients. Mr. Hargrove said, "Very strange. This seems quite inexplicable. You have not entered any of the doors on the left, right?" No, I replied. Mr. Hargrove seemed genuinely concerned and said softly, "Well, my boy, your health is more important than one day of work. Take the day, and tomorrow come in around 10. We will work this mess out." As soon as I got home, I fell asleep. I didn't feel tired on the drive, but as soon as my door closed, I was out. I had yet another dream. I was in the office, but I blinked, and when my eyes opened, I was in a completely different place. It was a room full of mirrors, and there were several reflections of me, each looking slightly different. There were two that were incredibly uncanny. To my left was me, except I had never transitioned. Sobbing, he raised a knife and blood spilled. I looked away from the mirror in horror. The mirror I was looking at now was just like me, with a different Mr. Hardgrove's. This one looked sinister, menacing. The polar opposite of the old, yet kind Mr. Hardgroves I knew. The fake Mr. Hardgroves tried to say something, but I couldn't hear it. As he tried to speak, there was a rattling, as if something was trying to pierce the veil between the worlds that separated us. Suddenly, he shook his fist in anger, nearly hitting the fake me with its plastic face. I awoke suddenly to Mr. Hardgroves shaking me and saying, "Noah, my boy, wake up! Get up, please!" My eyes fluttered open weakly, and I took a breath. My lungs burnt and my head ached as if I had been choking. After the first few breaths, I was conscious enough to know that I was in the office. I looked around bewildered and tripped over my tongue as I asked, How did I get here?" Mr. Hardgrove shook his head and said, "I don't know. It's horridly early for you. At 4 a.m. You may have sleepwalked, but regardless, I must know, were you in the mirror room?" I was about to answer when I saw the reflection of myself I had seen in my dreams. I shook in fear as I pointed and asked, "Who is this?" Mr. Hardgroves looked where my finger was and asked, "Who?" Then he asked again, "Did you dream you were in a room of mirrors?" I nodded and asked, "What is happening to me?" Mr. Hardgrove sighed and said, "My business is complicated. And what my clients rent is more time from alternate universes. The mirror rooms are how I can connect to these other worlds. Your dreams have taken place in these other worlds. As malevolent entities try to get out, they reach to take anyone's place. Most people would have lost it within a few days, but I knew you had a spark within you." The other Hardgroves walked out and said,
"Noah, this man, he leads you to danger. He expected you to sell your sanity for a hopeless scheme. Don't listen to him. Go into the second door on the right. Relieve yourself of this life. Free yourself of this nightmare."
I looked to the Hardgroves I knew and said,
"Why didn't you tell me? Why are you doing this?
Mr. Hardgroves said, "The rich and the elites are fools. Complete fucking idiots. They will get what I sell with or without me. This prevents immeasurable harm from coming on to others. But as you see, there is a price.
Fix me, please."
I begged with my raggedy voice. Hargroves was silent. I knew he wouldn't have a solution. Every part of me hurt, though, as if I was being stabbed by a million needles 100 times each second. The other Hardgrove said,
"I can offer you relief to the pain. Go to the room."
I looked at the tangible Hardgroves and asked, "What happens if I go to the room?" He replied, "Immeasurable suffering will be brought to others." The intangible Hardgroves said,
"All you have to do is say yes, and I will guarantee your relief."
I looked to my Hardgroves, the kindred yet eccentric man, the liar who cursed me with ultimate suffering, the bastard who cursed me to lose my mind. Then I looked to the cold and malicious Mr. Hardgroves, who had haunted my sleep. I was going to refuse, to resist. As the pain climbs to levels that not even Satan could create, I cried, "Yes." Mr. Hardgroves was slammed against the wall by his mirror-born counterpart, and I forced myself to crawl down the hallway.
"No, Noah, my boy, please don't. You don't know what you're doing. Whoever sent you to this is lying to you. The mirror room will only give you horrors and hell. I don't want that for you," Hardgroves shouted. His pleas fell on deaf ears as I crawled, seeking relief from the pain.
I opened the door and saw the fake me waiting, sitting. It pulled a phone from its pocket. I got the message and pulled mine out. I saw an entire story written. A story about me, from the day I got the job until this very moment. The end of the story were my instructions. I followed them to the letter. I ignore Mr. Hardgroves. He pounded on the door and begged. I ignored him. I stopped reading. I pressed post and I followed the rest of the instructions. I posted the story, cut my thumb, and smeared the mirror. I say my name 5 times, close my eyes, and jump into the mirror. I take my rightful place and let the real me shine. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.